Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Shit Show.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. That's totally awkward random.
Kia ora, everyone, and welcome back to a less traditional dish of The Shit Show, because we have the internet's biggest crush, my biggest crush, the newsletter's biggest crush, Belle, on the mic with us today. Belle, hi.
Hi, so gorgeous to be here. Before we were recording, I was laughing that last time we recorded a feature with me, I had just eaten some Christmas like popping chocolate candy.
The magical elves, everyone. Do you remember? And I don't know if we talked about it on mic, but her voice, worst thing one could possibly take before going on the mic.
Social suicide. So the elves have been cast aside.
Yes.
And here we are.
The elves aren't in the room with us right now.
It is like nearly April, so you'd hope that they were gone anyway.
No, but I'm sure there's like magical popping Easter eggs.
Oh, light me on fire. I'm such a Grinch. Just get it away.
We were actually saying right before we got on mic, we were just going to pick our personalities before we got on here, because I was like, I feel like I'm going to be a bit of a cynical bitch today. I feel like there's a bit of female rage happening. Belle, you?
Yeah, you're going to be cynical bitch, female rage. And yeah. Mine was like a weird fusion of chill girl meets female rage. Riddle me that.
And look, maybe by the end of this podcast, we'll understand what that looks like, because you will have shown us how to be chill and ragey.
Yeah, or we'll just turn the ship around and leave on like an enlightened gorge note, which is a vision anyway.
And so that is what we shall try to do by the end of this podcast, because we want you, even if we are not feeling good at times, we want you to feel good. I'm actually also obsessed with the female energy that's come to The Shit Show today. It's been a long time since The Shit Show has been hosted by two women.
Oh, I'm obsessed.
I'm obsessed.
Do we also need to talk about something that's a bit of an elephant in the room?
What?
Our matching outfit.
Oh my God. I was like, oh, she's here to throw me under the bus like already. So Belle and I do this thing often where actually like most days in the office, we work in the same office block together, and we will both wear either the exact same outfits or very complementary outfits. And almost every time we do it, someone will comment on the outfits that we're wearing. And today we've gone for one of our favourite colour combos as a collective, because we do most things in sync without knowing. And we're sort of watermeloning it today with pink and green. I'm pink on the bottom and green on the top, and Belle's pink on the top, green on the bottom. Our wonderful producer Sam just said that Belle was channeling Cosmo and Wanda from The Fairly Odd Parents, which is like, if you could picture us right now, maybe I'll post a photo on the Close Friends, which you should all be a part of. If you're listening to this and you love shit you care about, first of all, I would beg of you to become a paid supporter of the media that you love, because it lets us keep doing this. But second of all, it gives you access to like the unhinged side of our Instagram, like the secret side of our Instagram, which is very cool. The Close Friends, where we post behind the scenes of all of this fun stuff. And there'll be much more of me and Belle to come on the Close Friends. Like, we can't even tell you how much more, but a lot more.
Oh my God, just strap in.
Strap in.
I feel like, yeah, the watermeloning, which is honestly a verb I'm going to take through the rest of the week and see if it kind of picks up and gets traction and obviously goes viral.
But obviously everything we do is obviously goes viral.
Obviously makes mainstream news agendas all around the world. But you'll be able to see a few. Liz is losing.
I'm losing my mind. Watermeloning, obviously the goal of everything is to go viral.
Yeah. What do you think the effect of watermeloning is? Like, it feels just kind of joyous.
It feels joyous and it feels refreshing.
Yeah, like because, a gorge, like Cosmo cocktail.
Yeah, like a watermelon, some would say. Yeah. You crack it open, there's sweetness inside. Like,
it's 4 p.m.
you know.
On a midweek.
Yes. Anyway, I feel like sometimes Belle and I get into this space where we both have very similar brains and vibes, and then we'll be talking and it will make complete sense to us and often not complete sense to, I wanted to say, to the user. Well, you're not users, you're listeners. So sorry if that was all lost on you, but just start saying watermeloning like anywhere, in any circumstance, one would say.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to do another plug. First plug was for close friends, which now you're all a part of. Done, tick, off the list. Second, you've heard me talk about it maybe. Maybe you haven't because you don't listen to Culture Vulture, and you should. That wasn't the plug, though. We have a new podcast that we're launching. It's all about breakups. It's using all of the stories that you've been sending me over the past few months. It's very much informed by you, which has been just so, like, gorgeous to get to know some of your stories a bit better, and also great because I don't have to constantly come on here and talk about my issues. It's called On the Feels. It's a new breakup podcast. It's brought to you by Love Better, and we're dropping that into our Culture Vulture feed. So jump over there, subscribe to Culture Vulture, and start listening to some breakup traumas and how we get through them.
I thought, just to jump in and validate you, because so it was obviously a great hobby of mine.
But what, to validate me or to go through a breakup?
Oh my God, too close to the bone, both. But I wish I had, like, I'm genuinely not saying this, guidance on how to go through that shit when I was younger. Because holy God, it's just
holy
most...
God, wherever she is, it is just impossible to know what to do.
It is, and like I talk about this a lot in the Chimes and the No News is Good News Newsy in my life in general, which is just like the life-savingness of my female friends going through breakups. But
yeah,
I feel like now the conversation is at a point where we can just like universally accept that they're horrific things and maybe examine our behavior in more like clean and sort of level ways,
but
also sort of laugh at the futility of it along the way.
And learn how to radically accept that sometimes people are just going to wrong you.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's something that we have to deal with in this life.
Totally.
I forgot to mention that who the fuck Belle is, because I just assume that you will know, because I'm in communication with Belle like all day, every day, and so I just assume that everyone else is, even though you're not. So Belle writes our wonderful weekly column. Belle chimes in every Wednesday in the daily newsletter, and she writes the Sunday newsletter, No News is Good News, which is beloved by the Siska family because it's just very, like, you want to sit down with your coffee and learn some rules for life that no one asked for but that Belle will give you. So, again, if you're a Siska supporter, you get that. You get the close friends. You get my diary edition. You get an insight into our lives that maybe you don't want, maybe you do. You get it. So you should come and be a part of all of that because it's fun.
Heavy endorse. Heavy endorse.
Heavy endorse. Heavy plus signs all round. Belle, huge intro from the female rages this week. Huge intro. And I wonder if the band is going to come up at any point.
Okay. Okay, like I didn't want to, but it also has to, and I think...
It also has to. Okay, first, before we get into the band, unless this is what it's to do with, what is the weirdest thing you saw on the internet this week, or in real life, whatever you want?
Can you imagine if I somehow made that about the band?
The weirdest thing I saw was my memories popped up, and about 7 months ago, I saw that we actually won Battle of the Bands. Here we are. We've just made it about the band.
Oh, my God. My quick band story is that after we performed our award-winning set.
Oh, my God. Okay, full disclosure, everyone. I actually didn't realise Belle had a band story to bring.
Yeah, this is completely off script. I'm sorry, obsessed. And I'll make it happen really quick. But
I love it.
My friend was in the crowd and she took a video of our band performing and she sent it to me and she was like, when you date again, you have to play this on your first date.
And the video.
Yeah. So about a month ago, I was on a date, RIP, and I bought it up.
What did you say? There's something I need to get off my chest. I am in an award-winning band.
I just need to say that we are in a public place and what might happen, I have no control over it. But fans may approach me and you need to know why. Here's a fucking video that someone took on their phone, half drunk, of me on the conga drums. Cool, eh?
It is really. To be honest, I'm actually sure that floored them, and then they ran away because they were
too impressed,
intimidated.
That's the story I'm going to tell and carry on for the rest of my life. Really, but I just thought that you would appreciate that, and the devout listeners of the band who have never heard us perform will be heavily invested in that story.
I love that. Like, everyone on every podcast has heard so much about this fucking band. One day, I actually think I should play a little snippet of one of our songs or something. If you become a Cisco supporter, maybe the close friends will get that.
Close friends might get that.
That's good. But did you see anything weird on the internet?
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Back to the main agenda. This is a TikTok trend I've sort of witnessed over the last month. So I don't want to sound... I want to be, like, open about... It's probably outdated now. But it made me laugh so much, which is... People, like, filming B-roll content of them, like, looking really chill, kind of everyday content, out of fear that if they died, there's, like, not enough content about them to fill, like, their funeral, like, I was going to say playlist, movie, slideshow.
No board.
And I saw this when I was, like, deep in the horrors of being really sick. And I live alone.
Yeah.
So, like, when I get really sick, I have these, like, horror visions of dying.
Naturally.
And someone, like my neighbours being like, weird that we haven't heard, like, Sex and the City reruns being played through the wall recently. Like, is she alive? And there not being enough, like, hilarious, captivating, stunning content of my life to play at my funeral. So I just thought it was this, like, very funny trend of people filming themselves just, like, laughing and smiling and, like, going about their day and, like, adding it to a folder called, like, In Case of Emergency.
No! But that is actually, like, not the worst idea because, you know, like, you don't want your worst photo of you that you always hated but your parents or whoever's avenging you. I'm so sorry to take it here. Like, not that it's about Who's when you're dead. When you're dead you're caring about your selfies. But I will say that based on us being alive in the Shit You Should Care About universe, I don't think there'll be any lack of... Well, there'll be audio and there'll be written content of us.
Oh, thank God. I think it's...
why I do this.
Yeah. It sort of spoke to me about, like, how obsessed we are with, like, capturing our lives properly in the way we want others to see. Yeah. And the total reverse of that being, like, I also just want normie content of me, like, messing around in my life.
Because people should see that not everything's a highlight reel. So the B-roll, the B-roll of life is actually good, net good.
Okay, new idea, bring back the B-roll.
Bring back the B-roll. And I guess that's actually what people started doing with photo dumps on Instagram, which I was into. Like, I was into that.
Yeah, okay, I'm into it. I don't want to take a swipe at any of the fans out there.
Yeah.
But what I, like, there's a real indie trend of, like, a photo dump, but they're, like, blurry, don't make sense. It's the corner of a car bonnet.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you trying to tell me with this? You see the world in a way I'll never metaphor? Understand. Like, I don't know.
No, but I think it's just that, you know, you want to feel a part of something. You want to feel in. So, like, the point of it is that you get it.
Yeah.
The point of it is that you've just outed that you don't.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. Hot take. So I'm uncool. No. I don't understand what your road cone, like, corner of a road cone snap means in the grand scheme of things.
But, like, for some people, not us. Not everything has to have a meaning.
Correct.
For us, every fucking thing. The fact that we're dressed in pink and green and we've had to turn it into watermeloning.
Yeah.
Anyway, my weirdest
thing. Liz? Yeah, over to you. Enough about me and my weird photo dump montage.
Well, my weirdest thing is actually kind of a weird thing. I posted about it on Instagram yesterday and wrote about it in the newsletter. Florida wants to ban people talking about periods. Which is just like, it's actually unfortunately not that weird from Florida. Mm. It's just, so there's like legislation that hasn't gone through, but people, Republican people, want it to go through, where basically it's like to tackle the anti-woke agenda, no talking about like sex or sexual health. And then someone asked, sorry, this is not very factual for you all, but I've written about it and posted about it, and now I'm talking about it.
What more can you want?
Between one of them, you can find some facts. There's a video of a woman asking, oh, does this include like talking about periods? Like, is that banned from grades 6 through to 12? And then the guy, Republican Rep Stan McLean, said, yes.
No,
talking about periods, talking about sex, talking about STIs, talking about anything that like you might be interested in that age and like you need to talk about. Like, I just don't think we need to get on here and say why that's weird or wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like, oh, holy shit, that is the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It feels like a Margaret Atwood novel, like a scene out of a Margaret Atwood novel. It's just
weird. It's like unfathomable that that's life. It's unfathomable that in the States, like, access to abortion was repealed. Like, all of this shit, I feel like we report on it every day. It's happening every day, but it still feels like, quite fittingly, it just feels like there's this constant crisis going on that's made us all numb to all these crises, which is actually what we've got Belle in here, on here, on this mic, however we want to say it, and to talk about today.
A crisis expert.
Our crisis expert. So Belle does this thing in the office that we work in, and it's called Limelight Sessions, and it's where she gathers up the trends of the moment, which unfortunately are moving at the speed of light, so it's a very hard and very useful job, but it's not the easiest job in the world for you.
Gives me huge anxiety, just need to add.
And if it's pushed out a week, you're sort of like, oh my God, are all my slides out of date?
It's like buying fast fashion and then it arrives, like it's delivered to your house and it's out of fashion before you can even wear it, but it's worse because it's intellectual.
But it's worse because everyone's going to think you're an idiot. No, and so Belle, I happened to be in the office on this one day when Belle was presenting. Did a gorgeous job, by the way, Belle. You always do.
Yeah.
And one of the things you talked about was, dun, 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 the perma-crisis, or being in a state of perma-crisis, or I'm not really sure what the correct way of saying that is. But when I heard you talking about it, I just felt like, between you and I, our favourite thing in the world to do is give words to things that don't have words, or give words to feelings that we otherwise can't give words to, hence watermeloning, hence phoenixing, hence lemonying, hence everything that we do. And
life quest.
The life quest, hence everything. So when Belle gave this word for the constant state of crisis that we're in, I was like, holy fuck, please write about that for us. And please talk about that with me on a podcast. So, first of all, Belle, I think it's very imp for the people to know. hate the shortened important
imp
to
is,
imp.
Imp's yuck. It's only email. And imp,
I know.
Even then.
Imp in email, everyone tells me it's yuck. And for some reason, that makes me just double down a little harder.
You love doing that.
Love to double down on something cringe.
It's the feminine rage.
It's the feminine rage. It's me being cynical, everyone that hates imp. So anyway, Belle, very imp that you give us a bit of a definition of permacrisis. It is like we need to write a dictionary for people to be able to listen to us, right?
I know. Walk into our brain. Let's just go with it. Our brain, like we've got one.
A twin brain.
It's like when couples get like super heterifying and they're like, our thoughts on that
Our stance on this. Okay, anyway.
Okay, sorry. We'll be here all day.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, permacrisis, this came up for me researching the aforementioned presentation. And it was actually Collins Dictionary Word of the Year last year.
Okay, quick interlude already. Yeah. Oh. Don't know how I missed that. Like, I don't know how I missed that, but I think it's because there's like the Oxford word of the year, the blah blah color of the year, the blah blah word. There's so many words of the years, which is fair enough because there's a lot of words.
Yeah.
In the world,
okay, this is a whole side trend of like the word, the year wrapped in one word.
I know.
Like, oh God, we could be here forever. but back to PC, which is what we're going to use shorthand for a perma crisis.
Okay. Okay. PC, and we're going to be very un-PC probably when we're.
Yeah, I'm just going to channel my feminine rage into this, but. Basically, a permacrisis means that refers to an extended period of instability and insecurity, especially one resulting from a series of catastrophic events. So when I read this, I was just like, oh my fucking God, because I feel like we're in this state at the moment and I don't want to project here, where it's just like, will my house stand up in this wind? Oh my God, the pandemic. Are we like over it? No, we're still processing it.
Is there a new one?
What is work now?
Yeah.
Why is everyone breaking up? The war in Ukraine, like how every day I get up and it's just like another level of chaos to kind of process, and how can I coexist with all of this chaos going on and still have meaning in my life and not live in the state of what the hell is going to happen next. So when I landed on this word, it felt like it opened a door to a like way of understanding things.
Yeah. And like in its most basic terms, the way when Belle first said it, it was like, is just that we are permanently in a crisis or in many. And like, yeah, you do feel insecure. You do feel unstable. You don't know, you know, for a lot of people, where your next paycheck's coming from, or the supply chains. Like, when can I get jib for my house? Like, I don't know. There's just, there's big and there's little, and there's just everything everywhere all at once, which feels like, yeah, we're just, how do we make sense of this? How do we keep being normal people?
Yeah.
And I feel like there will come a point where you'll help us with that, maybe in this chat.
Where you solve the perma crisis for everyone. No, and I think as well, like, what it did for me was make sense of, like, a base level of, I would say, anxiety that we're all living
off. Like, it's kind of what's pushing me to get out of bed is this, like, oh, wake up, heart beating out of your chest, like, fuck, okay.
Yeah, and, like, I've just spent the last couple of weeks getting photos from friends from my hometown in Hawke's Bay of their family homes just up to their roofs in silt. And you're just like, how, like, resilience, I'm so fucking sick of hearing it.
Yeah,
like, how do I have energy levels and hope and joy and like, can still experience life in its fullness when all of this is going on?
And it does feel like that tweet that you always see sort of going around that's like been said a million times, but I'll say it again, like, it's just, we're sick of living in unprecedented times. Like, where are the precedented times? But it is like, it does feel like this is life now, you know, that we need to be able to find ways to cope with new shit happening to us every time we open the news app or the Cisco newsletter or whatever. I thought it would be helpful if I just listed, maybe it's completely unhelpful actually, if I just listed a few of the things, a few of the crises
that you may have experienced.
That you may have experienced.
Not along if so.
Me literally being like, this is the most unhelpful thing I can do.
It will end good.
That's end. Yeah. It will end, hopefully,
in watermeloning.
In watermeloning. So obviously, we had the pandemic, and then we have these.
Define that.
We have the pandemic, and then there's been this thing after the pandemic where every single, and this maybe fairly so, maybe unfairly so, I'm not sure. Every single new virus or new bacteria or new thing that can spread or looks like it's spreading becomes a catastrophe in people's heads and in the media. And, you know, like, we had this one huge pandemic, which now makes every little new illness or thing feel like, holy shit, is this the next ?
Oh my
and
gosh,
so
totally.
That's, for me, that's the prolonged, like, obviously there's people that are still dealing with the effects of the pandemic, and immunocompromised people still are like, I have to wear a fucking mask everywhere and no one else is anymore. So the real effects for them are still, like, very notable. But
And not to trivialize that, but is it like sequel anxiety?
Yeah, it is.
Like a good way to think about it? Like, oh my God, the first one was so fucking bad. What next? And I think it's a trauma response a lot of people have when they go through something super gnarly. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I never want to go through that again. I'm afraid of feeling any feeling similar to that because it's so triggering of like what I've been through. You can't possibly tell me there's going to be something worse.
Exactly. It's like I have friends that have health anxiety after it, and it's like they already had health anxiety because they'd felt so shit for so long that they're like, well, this is just going to happen again and again, and I live my life sort of half because I'm scared of it. And also that's like fucking fair enough. So, yeah, we had the pandemic, climate disaster. We're just in climate sort of hell. but in saying that, and not to already get into the positive side of things, but just the brains that are on this thing, like the Duncan and I have talked on the shit show about like nuclear energy infusion, being able to emit more energy than what you're using to create it. Like there are some hopeful things in the climate space because I do often want to be careful about spreading climate doom.
Yes. Oh my God, so much so. And not to be like, oh, it's sunny today, it means it's all good. But there's also something about like, undeniable proof now. Up until this point, arguably, I know this is like not a fully sign-sealed argument, but like it's basically indisputable to deny climate change.
100%.
And I think for the last 10 years, like particularly governments and political leaders have gotten away with like, oh no,
it might not be happening.
It's just a record high since 1956. It's like, fucking show me where there is no evidence. And so I'm taking that as a positive because I'm hoping it's like helped a swing vote and like tipped other like climate deniers or people on the fence over the edge where it's just like your friends have lost their home to a climate disaster.
Yes.
Stop voting against this now.
Yeah. And hopefully we can spend less time educating people that it's happening and more time educating people on like how to either reverse it or find new ways of doing things that are going to like put the fucking brakes on us ruining the planet.
Yeah. I do not want to be in a wine bar mansplaining climate change to anyone again.
No, neither do I. And kind of on that and back to the sequel anxiety is just like environmental disaster after environmental disaster. I mean, even just in our home here, up here in Tamaki Makaurau, and then down in Bell's home in Hawke's Bay specifically, we had floods and then about like huge floods, devastating floods. And then 2 weeks later, we had a cyclone that further devastated the regions. And then now, even for me, every time like a downpour happens, I'm like, could this be like, how's this going to affect the buses and the trains and all these things that I never ever thought about before we had these catastrophes? And so there is just obvious. And then there's earthquakes happening more and more frequently, and it feels like volcanoes are erupting and like actual natural disasters that either it's because we're more connected now than ever, so I just know about them more.
Yes.
But you can't help but feel like, you know, they're popping up more and more. So there's that. Cost of living. Cost of living is fucked.
Need I say more?
Need we say more? Egg crises.
Egg crises. My friends and I are calling it the age of austerity, where we're like, oh, we'd love to, you know, like go out for a wine tonight. Instead, come over and we'll drink a bowl of Fat Bird for international $7. Listeners. That's about $7 bowl of bottom of the barrel. Who knows what?
Who knows what? Could we even call it wine? I'm not sure.
Petrol-infused grapes.
Well, we can't even afford petrol, so I'm just like, it wouldn't even be that infused. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
So cost of living, I mean, I'm a renter. I'll probably never own a home. And there's lots of people that could never even imagine owning a home and finding a home. There was a period, and again, people have it a lot worse off than me, but there was a period this year where I literally didn't have a place to live. I was on someone's couch and I was like, I can pay, I can show you great references, like I'm very friendly, and I got turned down from about
a tiny bit of female rage, but other than that, I'm
fine. I know. Yeah. And I was just like, I am a very eligible person to lend a house to.
Honestly,
and
for anything positive, you're an eligible person.
Eligible person for most things. And so there's just cost of living and housing crises. There is still the Black Lives Matter sort of, I would call that like a crisis. We see police misconduct still fucking happening.
Yeah.
Even when the attention is, I wouldn't say off it, but when the attention is like more widespread now and it doesn't have that huge sort of 2020-ish like
weight
ACAB,
it.
Like, you know,
yeah.
It's still Black Lives Matter or Asian Lives Matter. There's just racism.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say blanket racism is a crisis.
It is a crisis. It's just a crisis. And then one that's quite topical that we've been talking about is like Ozempic and trending bodies. I feel like that's just a crisis unto its own.
Yeah.
And as young women, we've lived through just like so many different eras of
just
that.
Enough.
Young men as well, but I'm just obviously I'm speaking from experience here. We have the war in Ukraine or the Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and then in general sort of tensions between countries. There was never, I don't think, going to be like a world peace sort of
total
thing.
Resolve on that. Yeah.
But it does just feel like that has then led to the supply chain crisis that we have spoken to, cost of living, et cetera. And then kind of on that, when we're talking about international relations, we just have the like total polarization in the United States in particular, but then echoed around the world. Like, you know, there's basically two, America is split in half, right? But New Zealand, we also have these communities that you expect to be fringe that are less fringe sometimes. And it's like this polarization between nations and people and just like human nature in general.
Do you think a permacrisis like pushes people off the fence, I guess in this case politically, towards like
Yeah, totally. Towards like being in separate camps, do you reckon?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because if you're constantly trying to make sense of like all these different things and you don't have like religion or you don't have something bigger, you're going to go to conspiracies or you're going to go to people that, you know, for some people, flat earth is a religion. That's what keeps them going. For some people, being like
terrifying
anti-vax is like the thing that they can believe in and put their energy into. Mm. And it's like when you're running off anxiety, sometimes the only thing that'll anchor you, I think, is having something to believe in.
Okay, a positive spin on this is that I hope, and maybe I'm speaking from my own experience here, because I feel...
So we can do.
Yeah.
So we can ever do.
Or, like, how can I positively partake in this perma-crisis?
Yeah.
And if, God.
How can I?
Riddle me
that.
That's my master's degree. Give me a scholarship back to university and I'll solve that for
you. We'll send you to Oxford for your thesis. How can one positively
partake in the perma-crisis? Yeah, cool. That's my watermelon quest. Is to become more politically engaged, which to me is actually quite a an intimidating thing.
Yeah.
Because even as like, I don't know, hopefully a smart lady, I find it intimidating to become heavily involved in public political discourse or conversations, because I think probably I'm afraid I'm not smart enough or don't know enough.
Or we just watch what happened to Jacinda Ardern and like anytime, like God forbid one of us ever wanted to be the fucking Prime Minister.
Heaven forbid. God herself would be looking after us.
Yeah, I know.
That's like a religious plug. It's not. but it is to start. I've started signing more petitions about the environment. There's like this awful like, as a referendum, I don't know, like the mayor in Tamaki Makaurau is proposing massive cuts to funding in the arts, which is just going to fuck this city so bad.
Yep.
And I've been submitting to that, and I feel like sometimes it can feel super overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So like, what's in my realm of like fucking things I can do to help?
Yes.
And I think that's it. And the other thing is like, capitalism has got us working so much and making us so tired that on top of living in the permacrisis, to have energy for political action is just like, I have to cook dinner and sleep
and I'm making all this money for like the government and for the man, and now I don't have time to fight them.
Yeah.
I know. It's I agree, and I also think like picking a few things that you really care about can lighten the load on you. For example, like as you were talking about that, I am like, I have an e-bike, and where I used to live, it was gorgeous because I could get to work safely because there was thankfully, a bike lane. Mm. And now where I live, there is no way for me to bike to work safely. There's like 4-lane roads. I think I've spoken about this heaps. There's just no way. And then the mayor right now doesn't want like bike lanes, doesn't like cyclists, doesn't like bike lanes, doesn't like public transport, like doesn't really like,
wants to turn
like the environment.
CBD into a fucking multi-level car parking building.
Yeah. So it's just like picking little things like that that you can feel like you have a bit of control over, or you can feel like you can channel that feminine rage into or masculine rage.
Chanel away.
Yeah.
But I think you've touched on something that's relevant about the perma crisis, which is all of this chaos strips us of a feeling, one feeling, which is control.
Mm.
So I feel like the tonic to it is finding ways to gain back small elements of control into how you feel, what you do, and what you feel connected to.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I think we're lucky, or I'm lucky, because every day my control is that I see something shit, I can write about it and let other people know about it, and I feel like I'm doing something. Yours will be completely different to that. But if it is like signing petition or choosing to walk to work one day a week or choosing to write to your like local person that you need to write to, I don't fucking know. Even if it's a business, like I have friends that they're part-time, their hobby is to like go on people's websites and check what their like environmental policy is and see if they're adhering to it, and then if they're not, email them, be like, hey,
my god, are you serious?
No, I'm
That's
serious.
The most gorgeous crusade I've heard in months.
And I think it was on a speed dating thing, and everyone was like, we were just going around the circle. It's like, what is something that other people might not know about you, or what's your weirdest hobby? And they said this, and I was like, fuck.
Wow. I would be so outdone by that. I'd be like, I can't compete.
No, same. What's something that no one knows about you? Everyone knows everything about me, unfortunately.
Especially my close friends. Sign up.
No, so yeah, finding little things that you can do that make you, like this, you are the center of your universe.
Mm.
You need to look after you first, protect your peace, and feel good in what you're doing and take some control, because no one else is going to give it to you. Unfortunately, in this world, in the perma crisis, no one's going to afford you any control. You've got to take it.
Oh, put that on a stretch canvas and hang it above my bed.
No, I'm actually dead at the way that when me and Belle get together, I become this like philosopher version of myself.
I'm obsessed. I love it. I love soft core philosophy. You know this about me if you read the newsy, which I'd be shocked by now if you listen to this podcast and you don't subscribe.
No, same. Or if you've stuck around this long without knowing what our vibe is. Like if you didn't read the newsy, you'd be a bit like, what the fuck? I thought this was a news podcast.
Why are they talking about Ukraine?
Yeah.
I guess like the whole political engagement thing feels like a practical like expression of trying to regain control.
Mm.
I think as well, like I read this the other day, which I thought was quite interesting, which was about moving through various cycles of grief. And it was in response to the like climate chaos that's happened. But I think it actually can broadly relate to the perma crisis as well, which is shock, like a sense of like heroicism, like a honeymoon phase, and then hell, like the gnarly reality of what you're fucking living through. Disillusionment, which I would argue that maybe, particularly in context of the pandemic, we're probably all in a little bit now. And then we move into like adaptation. And I think that word is probably where the hope of this episode and out of the perma crisis stems. Like adaptation from like the idea that architecture is going to start embedding climate action into the way cities are designed. Adaptation in the way that we're going to have to start building our houses different with, like, hurricane-proof glass. Mm-hmm. And even though that sounds fucking bleak, like, the fact that we're finally admitting and adapting to it, to me, seems encouraging. And adapting our lives, like, one of the sort of broadly known things that happens as a result of the perma crisis is people are finally like, I need to change my life.
Mm.
I want to live in a different lifestyle.
Yep.
I don't want to be like working 50 hours a week and feeling completely ground down by my job. I don't want to be in this relationship anymore.
Yeah.
It's after like a perma crisis, I would say declared,
We've declared it.
We see this huge period of change, and that also affects art.
Yes.
So like a sort of knee-jerk response to this fucked up time is actually when a lot of the best art It's yeah. mine as well.
And it gives you our favourite thing. It gives you perspective, which yes. unfortunately comes most of the time when you've gone through something really fucked up. Mm. For all of us, we've gone through, as I just listed before, very yeah. helpfully, a lot of fucked up things. And exactly what you were saying about adaptation just then is when I didn't really do that much reading about this because I knew that we would have a great chat and you would teach us all at the same time about the permacrisis. But the one thing I did read, I saw one positive take that was like, sometimes crisis, according to philosophers, is necessary to progress. And that is a very like radically accepting way of looking at yes. like all these shit things. And then you're like, right, but this means that hopefully off the back of this, like a phoenix rises from the ashes.
See, we've done there and I'm impressed.
As Belle and I constantly talk about phoenixing, when you go through this many incredibly shit things, literally the only thing you can do is rise out of it somehow. Mm. And hopefully the world is a collective. I mean, I've just talked about polarisation. I actually am a bit cynical about, I don't think there will be a collective united global
Imagine,
order.
Yeah, and the whole world rose
yes.
together like a phoenix from the ashes.
And we all sang Kumbaya and we fucking
got a cute haircut. Yeah.
But I do think there is something in that. It's like the only option here, if you choose to take the control of it, is to adapt and is to progress.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping that we all phoenix out the end of this fucking permacrisis.
Yeah.
And truly, if there's one thing that you take away from all of this, it's that we get one life. Unfortunately, a lot of ours has been living through our very own crises. I mean, the people that came before us had their own shit. Like, it's not just us. Also, Belle and I are sitting here in beautiful Aotearoa and we know that we're lucky to be sitting here and talking about that. I saw, Belle, that you had written down, like, how do we make sense of this when there are literally kids in Ukraine that, you know, wouldn't be able to listen to this or to have the radical acceptance and things like that.
And be like, wow, inspiring.
Yeah. So I feel like that's important to note. But, yeah, you have – you can only control you and you can only, like, do as much as – you can only make as much change, I think, as how – good as good as you're feeling, if that makes sense. Like, you have to look after you, and then, like Belle said, you can go and choose those things that you can control, and you just have one life. And permacrisis, it can be there to help make you understand a feeling. It doesn't have to define that life, though.
Yes. Oh my god. Okay, this is reminding me of one of my favorite songs at the moment by Lil Sims called
Sing
one.
It
Imagine.
And the band is here to perform it.
It reminds me of a song I wrote with my band.
Oh, you'll get through this.
Oh my god. No, it's by Lil Sims called One Life Might Just Live It. It's very, I think you'd love it.
Oh.
I play it on my way to work.
What a great
feel
wreck.
Like a fucking CEO walking along the pavement to that. But gorgeous sentiment. Yep. Can't do anything but echo it.
Yeah.
I hope that the end of this pod episode, like, phoenixes you out of, like, confrontation with the permacrisis into radical acceptance and, like, permission and a quest to phoenix.
Yes. And I would finish off by saying, if you need another song that makes you feel angry and then also good, love it if we made it by the 1975. Duh. Like, even in the name, like, I'd love it if we made it. I would love it if we made it through this.
It's actually a gorgeous sentiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually love this
song. Because it's like, wouldn't it be great if this worked out?
Yeah. And I still think it might. I think it just might.
Stay tuned for the band's cover of that song.
It's actually my dream to do a cover of that song with the band. Anyway, if you've loved this episode and if you want to see some behind-the-scenes stuff, first of all, become a Cisco supporter, because then you can read all of Belle's words and you can be on the close friends list. You're very lucky. And you should also go and subscribe to Culture Vulture, because that's where On The Feels is going to be and where the normal Culture Vulture, which slays anyway, lives. And thanks, Belle, for joining me on this quest.
Oh my god, a pleasure, a joy, an honour. Love to be here. See you next time for another deep, hilarious watermeloning unpacking of other issues facing broader humanity.
Just such an easy quest. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.